world's becoming a dangerous place for us women. Lipstick Bodyguard looks just like an innocent little lipstick, but it'll instantly drop any attacker to his knees so you can get away unharmed. Lipstick Bodyguard, fear no evil. Get yours today, only at lipstickbodyguard.com.
In many countries, the concept of the extended family has all but disappeared, and the notion of the traditional family has dramatically changed. These critical social factors are causing unique elder care challenges in today's modern family. This week, Diane examines those challenges and some possible solutions.
Welcome to Parents Are Hard to Raise, helping families grow older together without losing their minds. I'm elder care expert Diane Berardi. I had two different calls this week, different stories and situations, but both involving a parent being ill. And in one instance, children having to deal with a step-parent. And in another, children having to deal with a live-in partner of their parent. And I'm listening to the frustration and the stress and the uncertainty and almost the I surrender of the child to each situation that their ill parent is in. And I'm thinking, my gosh, the family has undergone such transformation. If you think about it, in many countries, the extended family has all but disappeared. The traditional family, consisting of a married couple with children, has become less common, as divorce rates, cohabitation, couples living together apart, single parenthood, and same-sex partnerships have all increased. And, you know, years ago, if a spouse died, that was it. A person didn't, you know, remarry. But today, because of longer life, that's all changed. You know, years ago, our parents didn't live as long as they do now. So when a spouse dies, the person has oftentimes a lot of time to struggle with loneliness, depression. And so, you know, when you think about it, if your mom or dad maybe passed away at 65, a person can remarry and be married for 30 years. So that's happening. In the 70s, there was such a spike in divorces. And because of our parents living longer, they might have divorced in their 60s and remarried, or they just lived together. So our parents living longer, they remarry, they live with someone, or they get divorced. And what's happening is we have these older blended families. We have an older parent and older children. And when you think about it, we really haven't, as a society, wrapped our head around that. You know, when you think of a blended family, we all think of the Brady Bunch or, you know, Modern Family. But we're not thinking of it, you know, with our elderly parents as adults. And boundaries get really blurry because, especially, and this is one area we're not thinking about, what happens when our parent gets sick? Who's going to do what? Who has the decision-making authority, the children or the new spouse? You know, when it's just our parents and kids born to those parents, caring for them is difficult and challenging enough. But what happens in divorce, remarriage, or them just living together, now we have the possibility of this more complex family that's formed. So we see this strain and this demand on us as children that we haven't experienced before. Now, you could have a situation like this, a blended family, that everything works. It gets reconfigured and there's a network of different family members, different marriages, partnerships, and everybody figures out what they do, and it's cohesive and it works. But oftentimes, I see and I'm hearing more and more, there's a lot of struggle because, you know, when our parents remarry, they don't think about that. They may remarry in their 60s and their 70s, and both people are healthy. You know, when we're happy for them because we say, oh, we're glad they're not alone and they found someone to, you know, they found companionship and someone to be with and they're happy. So we're not thinking of, okay, so what's going to happen, you know, when they get sick, one of them gets sick. Are we going to care for our step-parent? Or you know, what if she doesn't have children? What if she does? Or what about our father? You know, this is what we want for him. So things get really blurry if they're not thought about ahead of time. So in both calls that I got, the children were trying to do the right thing by their parent. So in one instance, I was talking to a daughter and her mom is in her 90s and has dementia. And she has a stepdad. And she's had that stepdad for the past 15 years. But she was an adult. She was married, had children, you know, when the stepdad came into play. So, you know, everything's been fine. But what's happening is he's older and her mom is in her mid-90s and he's older than her mom and he's trying to take care of her mom. And, you know, he's been doing a good job, but she said that, you know, we as children, we find that my mom isn't bathed enough or she's not changing her clothes. And we want, you know, my mom was never like that and we want her to, you know, her physical appearance, you know, be taken care of and that she gets bathed and put clean clothes on. And they find that she's sleeping a lot and he's allowing that because, you know, I'm sure that's their pattern. That's their routine. And he does everything around the house. And then he'll take her out when he has to run errands and they'll go out, but he'll leave her in the car, you know, when he goes into the stores. And so, you know, when the children come to visit, you know, they realize that these things are happening. So I had suggested, you know, let's try some care in the home. You know, let's try some care for her just so we can, you know, bathe and change her and engage her a little bit, maybe take her for a walk. You know, she used to like to crochet. She used to like to bake. So do these things with her and that will give him a break. So we tried that and he was very resistant. He let a caregiver come into the home and he let her bathe his wife. And he let her take her for a walk, but then the patient wanted to go back to sleep. And he did not want the caregiver to keep her up. He wanted her to go back to sleep. He did not want to go out on his own and just take some time for himself. He did not want someone else to do the laundry or someone else to make the bed. You know, he said, well, I do that. You know, and she said, but I can give you a break from doing that. Well, that's what I do. And she said, but I'm coming in at this time. It's early in the morning. You can just leave it and I'll do it. But I don't like to leave it unmade. You know, so he was resistant. He was allowing it to happen, but he was resistant. And what happened is he decided he didn't need the help. And so the daughter was like, you know, and the children were like, we don't know what to do. We just don't know what to do. She said, we're going down there. We're going to talk to him. You know, and I said to her, it's tough because she said, I don't understand why he doesn't want to take a break, why he doesn't want to go out by himself. Because this is their routine, you know, and this is what they do. And he's happy, you know, doing what he does. And they were happy just being together and no one interfering. And, you know, I said to her, you're going to go down there and you talk to him and maybe you'll get him to try it again. But I kind of don't think so. Not yet. I don't think so. He tried it and he decided he can do it all. And she said, but he's not. He's doing the, you know, the house things, but he's not. My mom isn't clean as she should be, you know, in her clothes. And she's sleeping. We don't want her to do that. Well, you know, in his mind, she's in her 90s and she's on medication, so it's okay that she sleeps. So I said to the daughter, you know, you guys can talk to him, but I don't think he's going to change his mind yet. You know, you just let him be. Your mom is not in any kind of danger, you know, so you just let them be. And then when you go visit again, you try again, you try broaching the subject again and try saying to him at this time, you know, I want to be a good daughter. Let me do this for my mom. You know, let me have someone bathe her and just take her for a walk and do that. And, you know, he may at that time be a little tired. He may say, okay, he may try it again. That's all you can do. You know, you have to just keep trying. You can't give up, even though it is very, very frustrating. And it did work. You know, it did work for a short period of time. But, you know, what happens is that spouse who that's his whole job, that's his whole life now. He doesn't go out to work, and his whole existence is caring for his wife. So that's what he's going to do, and he believes he's doing a good job at it. And he doesn't see that, you know, we want her mom to be out more, be up, and maybe doing the things she used to do. So that was one of the calls I got. And then the second call I got, there's a critically ill parent and who wanted to come home to die. And it's his home, and the daughter, you know, and her sister and brother, they wanted this for him. This is what he wanted. And so they set up care for him. But his dad lives with a woman who they never married, but she lives in the home. But it's her dad's home, and this is what he wanted. But the partner is fighting the care, you know, that he's getting every step of the way. And, you know, what happened is, what you come to find out is, she didn't want him to come home. She didn't want, she wanted him to go to a nursing home to die, and she didn't want to be there, and him in the home and her having any part of the care for him. And the children said, you don't need to care for him. You know, we're going to have that arranged. But she doesn't want that either. You know, she doesn't kind of want it to work. And so the daughter does have power of attorney. So what I did, you know, it's a very difficult situation, because the dad wanted to come home. He wanted to be with this woman. The children feel she's not doing right by him, and they've tried to do that, but she's, you know, fighting it and battling it. And, you know, you can't burden her dad with this because he's critically ill. So what do you do? So, you know, I said to her that you have to seek the advice of an elder care attorney. And this is what I tell a lot of people, and this is tough, but if your parent is thinking about remarrying or going into a situation where they're going to be living with someone, you want to get them to before they remarry, before they go into this situation, get them to seek the advice of an elder care attorney, because they advocate for the elderly. Whatever they're going to lay out the financial, the estate needs, the care, you know. And just because they lay out an estate or whatever they do, that doesn't mean it's in stone. Now, it's very difficult probably to get your parent to do that, because they're going to say, you know, I'm marrying, you know, Betty, and Betty, we're not like that. We're not going to be, you know, we're fine. You know, what's mine is mine. What's hers is, no, we don't have any of that. But, you know, as you might be have experienced, or as you know, that changes, and you see it when one of them becomes ill. You know, this is the time where nobody's planned for that, and everybody, you know, things happen, and money's involved, and homes, and just different things, and the care of your parent that you want it one way, and it isn't happening. So, and it's funny, because when you look at research and they look at why second marriages have failed, the two issues cited by divorced men and women as causes of breakup were money and children. And they did those surveys on men and women who were under 50 years old, and they had kids under 18. So, of course, they had custody issues, visitation, child support, different things. But then when they do that study on people who are marrying again later on in life, where kids are adults, they don't have any of the similar problems we spoke about. They don't have custody issues, child support, visitation. So you would think that these marriages are trouble-free or they're fine. But the two main problems still exist, those two main same problems, money and kids. So adult kids can have problems with, you know, loyalty, with maybe they feel that their parent is being taken advantage of, or they're not honoring their mom or dad that died, or they feel that their parent is making a terrible mistake. So again, I stress, seek an elder care attorney. And when we get back from the break, I will talk to you more about that.
I want to tell you about my friend Katie. Katie is a nurse, and she was attacked on her way home from work. She was totally taken by surprise, and although Katie is only 5 feet tall and 106 pounds, she was easily able to drop her 6'4", 250-pound attacker to his knees and get away unharmed. Katie wasn't just lucky that day. She was prepared. In her pocketbook, a harmless-looking lipstick, which really contained a powerful man-stopping aerosol propellant. It's not like it was in our grandmother's day. Today, just going to and from work or to the mall can have tragic consequences. The FBI says a violent crime is committed every 15 seconds in the United States, and a forcible rape happens every 5 minutes. And chances are, when something happens, no one will be around to help. It looks just like a lipstick, so no one will suspect a thing, which is important since experts say getting the jump on your attacker is all about the element of surprise. Inside this innocent-looking lipstick is the same powerful stuff used by police and the military to disarm even the most powerful armed aggressor. In fact, National Park Rangers use the very same formula that's inside this little lipstick to stop 2,000-pound vicious grizzly bears dead in their tracks. It's like carrying a personal bodyguard with you, in your purse or your pocket. Darkness brings danger. Muggers and rapists use darkness to their advantage. We all know what it's like to be walking at night and hear footsteps coming at us from behind. Who's there? If it's somebody bad, will you be protected? Your life may depend on it. My friend Katie's close call needs to be a wake-up call for all of us, myself included. Pick up a lipstick bodyguard and keep it with you always.
Lipstick Bodyguard, fear no evil. Get yours today, only at lipstickbodyguard.com.
So, before your parents remarry or live together, encourage them to seek an elder care law attorney, because that attorney's going to consider their income and assets. You know, a lot of people, they do prenuptial agreements. You know, they're going to draft whatever necessary. They may suggest separate bank accounts, brokerage accounts, living trusts, you know, assets in both names. They may discuss with you, you know, a trust in an independent trustee, not a child, but a trust company instead of a child. They're going to listen to the situation. They're going to draft whatever is necessary. And of course, it has to be signed before they're married and or before they go into this living arrangement. And, you know, if your parents, I know they're going to say, no, we don't want to do that. You know, just tell them, say, you know what? We have to think about, you know, I know Betty, I know nothing will ever happen, you know, and we get along fine with Betty's children. But you know what? What happens, you know, 15 years from now? What happens if you're sick? Who's going to take care of you? We have to line all this out. We want to lay it all out, what you want, so that the burden isn't on us. You know, mom, you don't want the burden on us children. You know, we want to do what you want to do. And we don't want the burden on Betty. And we want everybody to still, you know, when you're gone, we want everyone to still be a family. And we want everyone to still be together. So we can try that. Just an FYI, and your elder care attorney will tell you that a prenuptial agreement doesn't protect you when it comes to qualifying for Medicaid. Medicaid ignores prenuptials. Just an FYI. You could never need to know that information, but there it goes. And also, you know, you get people who will say to me, well, you know, I asked my friend, or the woman at the beauty salon said, this is what I should do. Don't trust anyone, you know, don't do that. You know, you have to go to an expert, because every situation is different. And just because something worked for one family, it doesn't mean that it's going to work for your family. You know, and people, kids will say to me, I can't believe my father got remarried. My mom has only been gone, you know, 3 months and he got remarried. You know, a lot of times the happier the first marriage was, the quicker a surviving spouse, especially a widower, will get married, because he's enjoyed being married and he believes in marriage and it worked for him. So that happens. It's not anything against, you know, your mom. It's just he needs to do that. And, you know, a lot of times women don't remarry and they decide to live together because, you know, they may lose they may have a reduction in the pension, their pension, or they may lose medical insurance or survivor benefits that a remarriage, you know, can cause. So, you know, these things, there's so many things that, you know, we don't think about, we don't look at as a society when with all this change in the family. And, you know, when older people remarry, they focus on themselves, they focus on their relationship, and they're not thinking about trying to make all the adult kids play nice or work everything out. So how close, you know, we as family members are to each other and how supportive we've been to each other, they're important factors when we're trying to help our parents, you know, when they need care. So, you know, when our parents remarry, these combined families, they haven't had all that time to gel, you know, and form tight bonds. So sometimes, you know, it takes a lot of work, and that elder care attorney can help ease that burden of, you know, another issue to deal with when a parent gets sick. Now, you can have, you know, blended families that work perfectly. You can have stepchildren. And I've had, you know, clients where, you know, stepsons, they've just taken care of their stepmom beautifully and everything's worked out. So, you know, but you just want that added protection with that elder care attorney. So as our parents need more of our help, you know, we learn new things about them and we get surprised in good ways and in bad. But I'm sure they can say that about us as their kids as well. And now I want to talk to you about one other thing. Robot caretakers for the elderly. Are they coming soon? Well, according to ARP, the number of people that are going to be available to care for family members over the age of 80 will, of course, plummet as baby boomers enter their 80s. So what does that mean? We as baby boomers will have fewer people available to take care of us than our own parents did. So researchers in England believe that technology could provide the answer in the form of a robot caretaker. So they thought of one way that this technology is useful is it can detect falls by elderly patients. So they thought nursing home patients who fall during the night are sometimes not discovered by busy nurses until the next morning. Unfortunately, but that does happen. So they're thinking they can use robots that can continuously sweep the building in search of, you know, residents who unfortunately are on the floor. So there's just one snag though. How does a robot tell the difference between an elderly person who has collapsed and a similarly shaped object, like a large duffel bag lying on the floor? So there's food for thought. And my survival tip of the week, drink some tea. One study found that drinking black tea leads to lower post-stress cortisol levels and greater feelings of relaxation. Last week we talked about our parents driving, and you know, I was asking people to send in suggestions and you know, or whatever stories. And I got a email from Tim from Spokane, Washington, and he told me the story of that his dad had Alzheimer's, and of course, he could not drive anymore. You know, he would get lost, etc. So he said they would hide the keys, and of course, his dad would find them, or he'd find other keys, or he'd have keys made, and you know, so they went through all kinds of things. So he said, finally, we took the car to up the street to the gas station. And then his father would come out and look for the car, and they would say, oh, it's being fixed at the gas station. He said, but every day his father would go out, you know, and he was really tenacious about it. And he said, so one day his dad found a tire in the street, he said, and his dad rolled up the tire to the gas station and asked the gas station guy, can you put a car on this? So he said he thought that was just to make us laugh, you know, because it is such a it is a serious thing, but you know, funny things do happen. And he said, and the guy was like, oh my gosh, you know, he said to Tim, now what do we do? You know, his dad was able to do that, which was encouraging, kind of. You know, we thought, okay, tire, put a car on it. So anyway, I've talked too much, but I thought you would enjoy that. If this week's show was helpful to you, or you know someone who would be helped by it, please tell them about it. They can subscribe to the show using iTunes. You can find links to the topics we just talked about in the show notes for today's episode, episode 29 at parentsarehardtoraise.org. Please remember, if there's something you're struggling with, we're all in this together. I'm here to help you, and I'll try my best to include any of your questions or concerns in a future show. Email me at diane@parentsarehardtoraise.org, or you can reach me through my website, dianeberardi.com, or you can follow me on Facebook at Parents Are Hard to Raise, and I tweet at Jersey Elder Care. Parents Are Hard to Raise is a Karenzik Media production. The music used in this broadcast was managed by Cosmo Music, LLC, New York, New York, under license of Broadcast Music Incorporated. Thank you so much for listening. See you again next week.